Hello, this is Eliza Bent from American Theater Magazine. It's the eve of winter festival season here in New York, a time of great opportunity to see theater from home and abroad in its many forms. In terms of theater, there are a number of festivals, including Under the Radar and COIL, along with other forces, while American Realness Festival focuses on dance and Prototype on opera, not to mention the raft of rogue artists who present their oeuvres with no official platform. It's a time to come together, take stock, and stock up on theater. Helen Shaw and I caught up over coffee in December to discuss her article about all of these festivals, which appears in American Theater's January 2014 issue. We discussed the artists that were coming up, the presenters, and the tactics for theatergoers keen on surviving and thriving in the harried and hurried atmosphere of what can only be called winter festival season. You've been attending these festivals for a long time.
I have.
What have you noticed over the years?
Well,
what are your...
How has it developed? Well, I do remember the first one I went to, except that in the way of all false memories, I think it's kind of... somehow it's conflated with a memory I have of a puppet festival that used to happen at St. Anne's, because there's a lot of puppets in my memory of the early Under the Radar, which I don't think is actually true. But it used to be, I think, it used to be at St. Anne's, and you would go in, and they had divided the space into kind of quote-unquote rooms with curtains. Again, this may all be a false memory, but this, I swear to God, this is how I remember it. And it was, you just thought, wow, this is the scrappiest, under-the-radariest thing that you can just possibly imagine. I mean, they don't have walls.
Under the curtains.
Exactly.
Under the not-so-iron curtains.
Exactly, right. It kind of felt like you were in Narnia, you know, and you'd, like, push through the coats, and there was a little room with the theater in it, and then you'd push through another set of coats, but it would be a duvetine curtain. Anyway, so it was totally bananas, and, you know, I will say, I think there is a terrible habit in all of us to assign roles to individuals, sort of, you know, perpetuate, like, the big man of history. But I really think in this case that Mark Russell's just kind of doggedness was one of the things that really made this festival season happen. And he just, I think the kind of attitude you have if you walk into St. Anne's and say, I bet I could make four theaters out of this if I just had enough curtains, is the sort of attitude that makes these festivals happen. And in a way, because I'm like a lot of recent New Yorkers, you know, I moved here in 2002, and I have all this fake nostalgia for, like, the old days, which I wasn't here for. I have this nostalgia for the scrappiness of those early festivals, and just what a chaotic bunch of nonsense it was. And now it's still chaotic, but it is...
There's a gloss.
Oh.
And a sheen.
Deep, glossy sheen. It's like a well-brushed thoroughbred coat. You know?
You can see your face in it.
But I've heard things like Under the Radar.
Yes.
Not necessarily.
Yes. There is scrappiness to be had.
Certainly.
Should you need a little scrappiness,
yeah,
I can direct you.
Yeah.
But it's true. So Under the Radar has turned into this great, big, gorgeous behemoth. But, you know, I think they miss the scrappiness, too. I don't know. They've never really said this to me, but the fact that they're linking up, they're kind of hand-in-hand with all the other festivals that, in New York, right or wrong, there's coolness that goes with scrappiness, and so I think that they are a little in love with what a, you know, the sort of the chaos and the ruggedness of their early days, and so I think that's one of the reasons why they're enthusiastic about all the other festivals springing up around them.
Yeah.
Is it keeps that central glossy one looking scrappy and cool in a way. But, I mean, not that I think they're uncool for having a little money behind them. God, no. I don't know. I think I know that for me it has become, it's become almost too important in my theater-going year. because I say this in the article, and I say it in a really bouncy way, and I do mean this, that it is kind of what rescues me from, like, the end-of-year burnout. You know, that, like, it's like taking a cure at a spa or something. You just see a jillion shows. And we don't need a break in order to recover our sanity. We actually need this, like, total onslaught.
Full on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but that means that if there is a year which is on balance disappointing, it means it's amazing. It can affect the whole year, which is like, yeah, there's a little pressure for you guys, but it has become
like
really important.
New Year's Eve, only it's a terrible month of programming.
But anyway. So, mostly
but you've experienced
incredibly
that.
Joyful.
You've had a disappointing, and then it affected your year.
Well, let's call it January, February. But
gotcha.
I think an important thing about going to the theater every night, which is my show-going schedule, is I have a goldfish memory. So, like, I forget. It'll be a Thursday, and I'll be like, well, what did I do last night? Can't possibly remember. I should go to a show, you know. And that's helpful. But the other thing that's helpful is that sensation of, like, any crazy thing you go to might be marvelous.
Mm.
And so one discovery like that will keep you...
Will fuel your fire.
For months. I remember, it wasn't a festival thing, but, I just sort of have these memories of little weird shows, like at the IRT Theater or something, which you go and you're like, oh, dear, I'm really taking a risk.
Yeah.
This is going to be a dreadful thing. And then it's... glorious and transcendent. So, anyway, the festivals just kind of condense that sense of possibility into this crazy, like, ball of heat and light. And,
yeah, I think that was a great quote that she had, the heat and
it
light.
Was. Heat and light. Heat
so
and
true.
Light. I know, I'm just going to take it and pretend it was mine.
Because it's so dark and cold and damp, you know? And then, like, there's, like, the rubbing elbows and the networking
Woo!
And the shimmies.
Yeah.
Like, what do you
yeah.
feel? Like, what's your, like, of course, like, your, you know, your outlook is more as, like, writer, public intellectual, Colin Shaw. So, like, but do you find yourself, like doing the network shimmy at times?
Oh, no, I'm afraid of the network shimmy. I hate the network shimmy. I am not... I mean, I have this residual shyness. I was writing this in an email to an artist who I went and saw their work as a friend and supporter and then couldn't stick around afterwards to do the embracing and the congratulating.
Sure.
And I was like, what is wrong with me? Like, why am I slinking off into the night? And it is, I think that there is a residual, I have a real shyness in the hour after a show where I know that I am vulnerable because I've just seen something. I know they're vulnerable because they've just made something. And because of my career, I know that that vulnerability is even a little bit more raw. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I tend to try to leave people alone after shows. And so in a festival thing, it's like, what are you going to do? There's a lot of hiding in the bathroom, you know?
Generous, though, because it's like, let there be that experience, I think.
Just like, oh my God, you just did this crazy thing. You just got on stage, or you just put something of your own on stage or something. So I always find the wait and kiss and cry at the end always a little bit frightening for me. And so then in festivals, I get that even more.
And what about the presenters? Do you have a relationship to the presenters?
You know, of each individual festival, because they are all producers who are working year-round in New York,
sure.
I know them well.
Right.
And this is a ridiculous word to use, but I'm very fond of all of them. Like, I think Shannon Sindelar is, like, unbelievably delightful, and I think Vallejo Gantner is a wonderful, strange, slightly elfin presence among us, you know, and I'm like, ooh, you know, when you spot him, it kind of feels like the door in the hill just opened, and out came this programming elf, and you're like, oh, wonderful, and Mark Russell is just, you know, full of bonhomie, and Mei Yin is brilliant, so these are these people that it's actually very, very pleasant to see.
Right.
There are more festivals now,
I should probably clarify, too. Like, what about the sort of the other, I mean, I guess more international presenter folk that sort of descend upon? Do you have a, like, what's your...
There's some chatting. You know, there's some chatting, there's some gentle chatting. You always know who's international based on the quality of their eyewear. Really good glasses, Italian or Belgian.
Yep.
Pretty good glasses, French. Bad glasses, American or British. But they are, I do actually find that very, very wonderful that there is this kind of, and my relationship is actually with, usually with critics from other places, so it's my chance to see a couple of critics who come into town just to see it, just for fun.
Sure.
And, yeah, it is. It is. It's a great big social, you know, the lobbies are, you know, do your hair, because it is a dangerous time to go out in your jammies.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to see everybody that you've ever heard of. Oh, well. Personal experience. Never relive it. But, so I think, yes, I do, it is very wonderful. And I think what's been great, what I've, you know, it's actually been super great, because in some cases it's turned into, you know, invitations to other festivals. You certainly see people networking, and I myself was able to go to another couple of festivals simply because there is this sort of...
Which festival?
One was a... Oh my goodness, what was it called? It was the largest festival of Scandinavian theater outside of Helsinki.
Was it Baltic Circle?
No. Was it Baltic Circle? God, it was so long ago. No, it had a long name. It was in Finland. In the Manchester of Finland. Very interesting shows. They use a lot of fire and smoke. And let's see, I also went to, oh well, one of the great festivals, Dialog in Poland, which is, I think it's biannual now, and it is astounding. It's in Wrocław, and it is an amazing festival. So there has been a little bit of stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, my God, it makes you hungry for the festival circuit. It makes you realize that these people have the life, that they go around and see all these incredible shows. Oh, anyway, very, very jealousy-making occasionally.
But maybe you'll get to go on some more trips.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. So
it can happen.
It can
happen to you. What's your advice to, like, to people that are perhaps, like, it's their first, or, you know, they're still early on in their forays into the festival, like, beyond, of course, like, making sure your hair looks okay.
Yeah, exactly. No jammies, people.
No jams.
I would say crucial, is... I have occasionally been really overwhelmed by festivals. I know that I went to the Edinburgh Festival once, and the pressure I really actually started to feel it was making me insane. I saw 25 shows in 5 days when I went to Edinburgh, and it's not good for you. And also...
25?
Yeah, and that actually wasn't the pressure. The pressure was the constantly looking through your booklets and constantly thinking, am I getting it right? Am I getting it right? What I would recommend is... And Pache, these theaters, because they have done a wonderful job of getting so much of their stuff online, is get a physical booklet. It is so much more soothing than trying to figure it out on the website. Get the physical booklet, circle 5 shows you like, go to those, talk to everybody in the lobby, and go to whatever they liked.
Yeah. And just, it's all about finding that balance of giving yourself the time to see the thing that maybe wasn't on your personal radar.
Exactly.
And that's always the trickiest, is then knowing, like, well, when can I see that show that everyone's talking about that...
Exactly. And if you hyper-schedule,
you won't see it.
The other thing I would say, and this is a little... I don't know if it's inside baseball, but it's a little bit like, know the size of the theater you're trying to get into. So, Moisés, for instance, which is this Mack Wellman piece being performed by Steve Mellor, which is going to be amazing.
The inimitable Steve Mellor.
So, no one can imitate
him. Incomparable.
No, not a person has... People have tried.
They've tried to imitate him and... Well, man.
It's true. The gulches are full of the dead and dying who tried to imitate them. And they are going to be at the Chocolate Factory. And the Chocolate Factory is just a tiny, tiny poster stand. It is petite. And so if you want to see that, and you should want to see that if you have any interest in, I don't know, kind of the way forward or the way back, to be honest.
Yeah.
You got to get those tickets. Yep. Because it's... It is, you know, it seats, I don't know, 50? It's tiny. So, whereas the stuff at the Public is maybe a little bit more, you know, those theaters are going to be a little bit more fluid. You're probably going to be able to squeeze your way into the Newman if you really need to. And then, you know, in the same with La Mama, if you know the three spaces at La Mama, then stuff that's in La Mama downstairs is going to fill up a lot faster than La Mama Annex. So it seems kind of cold-blooded, but look for the ones that are in the small spaces that you want, and then go from there. Yeah.
What was, like, when you were putting the article together, what was sort of, like, the biggest surprise or challenge as you were working on the article?
Well, it was a little bit of Kill Your Darlings problem, which was that festivals are coming out of the woodwork. There is so much happening that I wasn't able to include. So I included the big festivals that all, in their way, provide a one-stop shop. So American Realness is a one-stop shop for current dance and performance, particularly if you're interested in, like, queer glitter realness. That is where you want to be, right? Don't miss
your
it.
Queer glitter realness fix.
Needs, exactly.
American Realness.
That is where you want to be. Then there's Prototype, which is the new opera. There's obviously Under the Radar and Coil, which is PS122's festival. But, you know, so just for example, just this morning, I was looking at a press release from Theater Meet 2, which is this company which never performs here because their leader has gone off to run NYU in Abu Dhabi. And Ruben Polendo.
Mr. Polendo.
And look, I have loved some of their work, I have not loved some of their work, but there is no way around the fact that their work is important. And they're going to be in town. They're going to be in town, and they're going to be performing something, not in a festival.
A non-festival. That was another question that I had.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you could be trying to get into early days of Cry Trojans, which is the new Worcester Group show. That's not a festival show, and yet...
But it's happening in January.
Miss it at your peril. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I think there's...
The Kitchen has...
Oh, The Kitchen, I know.
I know, The Kitchen has Jay Shine.
Yeah, I know, and that, which and has... The, and that is unmissable, actually. Oh, my God, it is actually kind of overwhelming. And then there is... I think this is right. I think Culture Performance Network is also... Aren't they starting something as well?
Oh, really?
I think so.
Also in January.
Also in January.
So, okay, about the, like, sort of drawbacks or the whiplash or PTSD like, what... Is there something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a lesson, and this is where my parents should stop listening. This is a lesson I learned from college, which is that playing hooky is the most important thing you can do for your mental health. So book yourself and then give yourself a single skit. And hide in Indochine drinking a glass of wine at the back tables. You know, and yeah, you probably just missed something important, but playing hooky, that delicious sensation of having slipped the leash, will have a kind of a wonderful avalanche effect of mental health.
And having a good conversation with an old friend,
maybe.
Or a new friend,
maybe. Exactly.
The old ones are gold, the others are silver. But having those, you know, like, but I find that that's always one of the most exciting things of those festival times, is finding yourself in a group, maybe a small group of people, with somebody that you really know and like, and another person that you've been anxious to get to know, maybe, and it's like, suddenly you're all chatting, and you're sharing stories, and...
Yes, I think that's true, and I do think that,
and hashing out what you've seen. You
know, it's like a party where you're working, but it's also, for a lot of us, it's the first time, or it's the only time in a year where you're going to be at a big week-long party, or more than week-long party, in which everybody there shares your basic, very, very skewed set of principles. Right?
Being theater top.
Being theater nutballs. Yeah, exactly. And so, if you are, like, I know that, you know, I have gone through my whole set of friends on being my plus one for all these shows. You know what I mean? Like, I lost one, my best friend. I lost her after she got vomited on at the Flea, you know.
What?
A little one late night show at the Flea.
No.
I lost a plus one for the rest of my life, you know. And... But you didn't lose a best friend,
no,
I hope.
No, just as a plus one.
Thank goodness.
So it is, and, you know, so there is
That's tough, though, vomit at the theater.
Vomit? Oh, yeah. Not performative vomit, real, genuine vomit. But so we're so used to, or at least I'm so used to, there being an element of like, oh, hello, I'm taking my dog for a drag. Like, dragging your friends into the theater with you.
You can't do it.
And this is a time when you go into a theater or a lobby, and everybody, it's like all of us are those little turtles that are, like, have our radar attuned to the same beach. You know, when we're all like, we're all on the same drug, and it is, it's great. It's great. It's like, it feels, and I hate to put it this way, but it feels like college. It's a wonderful, you get energy from it. You get energy from meeting all these people where you don't have to say, so, I go to the theater every night. And the person is like, why would you do that?
Right,
you know?
Right.
Instead, there's a lot of high-fiving. Is how
a lot
I picture
of high-fiving.
It.
Yeah. Oh, it's true. It's so true. It's yeah, and it is better to go on your own, I think. Because inevitably, you're going to see people that you're going to want to chat with. And you don't want to bring your friend who's not as fluent,
let
so to speak.
Let the plus one go. Let it go.
And there's plenty of pluses to letting that.
It's plus 50. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes. So what are you excited for?
In terms of the festival?
Yeah.
I don't really know if I'm at liberty to say.
Oh.
Wild hand gestures.
I know.
No, I'm excited. I'm really excited to see some stuff that I've seen, in the past. And, like, we sort of revisit, like... I remember seeing Andrew Andrzejak's Feast and being...
He's totally rewritten it.
...intrigued, and he's been sending me text messages about his rewriting process. And, of course, the 600 Highwaymen. I was away when they had the record shown last year, but I'm an ardent fan of their work. I feel like, for me, it's like also such an exciting time to see stuff you never, ever, ever get to see. Because I've never seen Lola Arias or, like, all of these international folks that come in. It's like,
same here.
I often think of it as a time of, like, being a squirrel and storing things up for the rest of the year. It's like, I must store up, soak in the international
That's stuff. Really true. And it is also, because it's amazing because it is... We're often looking at world class performance. I mean, the first time I saw Gob Squad, was that 2 years ago? I think. And I still haven't gotten over it.
I know that piece was,
and they hadn't been here. Like, that's just crazy. And we rely so heavily on BAM, and we can't rely that heavily on BAM. I love BAM.
Yeah,
and they have marvelous programming, and I love that they have a new little theater, and all of those things are great. But how can we put all the pressure on one theater that has a very particular mission? You know, their mission isn't to expose us to all of the great art of Europe. Their mission
is...
They have a next wave, exactly.
And so often that next wave is the old wave.
It's true.
That you still want to go to.
Exactly.
But it's tough.
It's tough. And so...
And it's very short showings, too, of things. So if you're out of town or if you have other... It can be hard. No, and then, of course... Love the old wave.
No, absolutely. And I think that's the thing is that you can't be BAM and not show the Robert Wilson piece.
Of course,
It's an important part of your cultural history, and it's an important part of their mission to continue supporting this artist.
Right.
It just means that when the hell do we get to see Lola Arias? Well, this is it.
Romeo Castellucci has never done a thing in New York City.
Right. Exactly. What is that about?
I'm excited about that too.
It is a great time to catch up on the stuff that you've missed. House of Dance, people, get there.
Absolutely.
What else? The record. I will admit to you a tiny bit of rue, which is that they're not showing their piece This Great Country, because that is a This Great Nation.
This great country.
This great
country.
The one about Willie Loman.
The one about Willie Loman.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful. It's so unstoppably beautiful. The record is great, but oh.
You saw it when it was down in South Street Seaport.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it in Austin.
Oh.
At a bingo parlor.
Oh, cool.
Like a huge, just, it was massive. It was really incredible. Yeah. But it was also after like a marathon day of theater viewing, and I remember watching it and thinking, I wish I was more awake for this.
I
wish that I had more energy to be soaking this in.
Do you know, that is actually, that is, you know, if there is a drawback to this season, it is that. It's that.
The fatigue.
It's that a bunch of us on Theater Ritalin can't handle the really, the soft stuff. You know? Like, if someone brings out something where the tools that they're using are gentle, if they're using tools that are about real duration and attention, if you have an artist who it doesn't mind if you get a little bored, we're all so hopped up and hyper-caffeinated and buzz that we don't watch it very well.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that in the past, that there was a very beautiful show, very interesting show, you know, critics have their regrets, and I think it was the Pig Iron Show. Critics have their regrets, she said ruefully, staring into the rainy window, tracing the drop as it fell. No. Wasn't it the Pig Iron Show with Takashi Okada? It
was like, oh, Zero Cost House.
Yeah, Zero Cost House. Zero Cost House was long, honey, long. And it was slow, baby.
Girl,
slow.
I saw that when it was longer in Philadelphia, and I loved it.
Yeah.
But truly, I think had I seen that in a different context,
exactly,
I would have had a different reaction.
Exactly.
Similarly, with C'est du Chinois, don't know if you recall that little gem.
Yes.
I felt like I would have loved that even more had I not seen. I kept thinking, like, but is this it? Is this the show that I should be watching?
Agreed.
And that sort of that like stress terror of, am I seeing the show that I need to be seeing at this moment? Can sometimes, it's a bad lurking.
Yes.
You know, you have to quiet that demon voice.
You have to, like, bop that gremlin right on the head.
Mm-hmm.
It is very true.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is the, like,
I love C'est du Chinois, but it was like,
I know
what you mean.
C'est du Chinois, I mean, I think that the shows that they put up tend to look great in their settings. I am not in any way criticizing the way that these things look when they go up. But there is a sense that some shows need to be treated like a single little jewel on a single little nestled bed of velvet.
Yeah.
And that if you are looking at it on a counter with all the sausages and cream cheeses, you're just going to miss it.
Yeah.
And
it's true.
So it's joyful and it's exciting, but it is, and I asked this question of all the people I interviewed for the article about, did they feel that the process of festival selection was changing the art form? That what tours well? And many of them, most of them said, we don't feel that that's happening at all. We feel like we're just going out and finding things we love, and there's still a great catholicity of wares out there. And I think what they're doing is the work of the light, so I don't in any way want to say that there's something bad that's happening there, but I do think that there is something, you know, attention and attention span is the thing that we are losing as a race. And so it is one very small component of that I worry about. If I have a gremlin in the back of my head, it's that sensation of, like, is even the excitement of this actually doing something
wrong? Yeah.
A little dark?
Yeah.
Not sure.
Yeah.
Not sure.
You know what you do to fill that void? You just have to see more shows.
Yeah, more long shows.
American Theater Magazine is published by Theater Communications Group. You can read Helen Shaw's article in full, in print, and online at www.tcg.org/American Theater. Thanks for listening.